And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is frauds of one kind or another. Each of my guests is discussing avoiding frauds, whether it's hiring a new employee, an economic policy for a president, or out-and-out financial fraud. My next guest is a venture capitalist, management consultant, and a teacher at Babson College. He's compiled a list of the top five worst presidents for the U.S. economy during their presidency. We'll discuss his list. You may be surprised by his findings. I know that I was. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Peter Cohan is president of Peter S. Cohan and Associates, a management consulting firm. He helps companies in technology-intensive industries to identify, evaluate, and profit from new business opportunities created by changing technology. Peter is a frequent speaker, author, TV commentator on high-end technology. Prior to starting his firm, Peter worked as an internal consultant in the banking and insurance industries. He received an MBA from the Wharton School, did graduate work in computer science at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and he earned his BS in electrical engineering from Swarthmore College. Joining us from the greater New York area. Hi, Peter. How are you today?
I'm great.
That's a greater Boston area. So how are things up in Boston today?
Well, it's pretty nice. It's in the mid-40s, which is really unusual for this time of year. Usually we have snow at this point.
Exactly. A little bit of Indian summer almost. Well, let's dive right into it. I found your list was fascinating. You took a look at presidents over the last 10 presidencies. That's a span of 60 years. And for people who don't remember the U.S. history, that would include Presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Carter, Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Clinton, George W. Bush, and now President Obama. And he took a look at their performance during the first 3.5 years what they were in office. And those presidents covered a span of about 60 years, which is surprisingly roughly about 25% of the U.S.'s existence as a nation. So you looked at them across a couple of different platforms, and you decided who were the best and who were the worst performers for economics during their presidencies. So let's go over that. What were the things that you looked at in order to rate these 10 presidents?
Well, we looked at seven variables, and I say we because there was a writer of Forbes who originally set this up back in, I think it was 2004, when I was doing work with the Kerry campaign, and he interviewed me, and there were seven variables that he looked at that include GDP growth, disposable income growth, the growth in the number of employed people, the reduction in the unemployment rate, the reduction in the inflation rate, the reduction in the deficit, and the stock market performance.
All right. So if you took a look at, and for the stock market performance, it's something that you called the real Dow, which is the Dow Jones Industrial Average divided by the price of gold. So that was an interesting barometer, too. So you threw gold into the mix. So when you look at those variables and you rate the presidents, you come up with your list of the top five and the bottom five. Let's go ahead and let's start with the bottom five, if we can. Who was it in number six, place number six?
Well, basically, I've got in front of me the five worst.
Okay.
And we have George W. Bush was the worst of the of those presidents over the last 66 years. George W. Bush led the pack, being the worst for the economy. The interesting thing about him was that there were some things that he did well, relatively well. He came in, I think, second or third when it comes to GDP growth. But, you know, getting to the issue of fraud, what happened basically was that the economy was propelled by people borrowing money that they could not pay back to buy houses. And, of course, that led to the financial crisis in 2008. So the second worst one was his father, George H.W. Bush. Then we had Dwight Eisenhower. Then we had Richard Nixon, and then we had the first one in the last 66 years, Harry Truman, was a Democrat. But the four worst were all Republicans.
Well, that's interesting, and it varies a little bit from the list that I had seen posted on Forbes. But let's dive into that, because you've hit at the crux of the issue. Five of the bottom five, for our Republican presidents. Why do you think that is? Or conversely, why do you think the Democrats do better for the economy?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and I don't think I really have a perfect answer for it. But let me put out the following possibilities. I mean, if you look at some of the individual names that are on there, the ones that are most familiar with to me, of course, are George W. Bush, and he basically did well, not too badly on the GDP growth. The other one he did well on was inflation. The inflation rate dropped under his tenure from about 3.4% to about 0.1%, which sounds good on the surface, but what that really tells you is that the economy was collapsing when he left office. And that's why we were in basically a deflationary situation where prices were actually dropping. Of course, the job market was terrible under George W. Bush. There were only about 3 million jobs created during his entire 8-year term, which compares to 22 million for Bill Clinton. And, of course, the worst thing where he just sort of was off the charts is he took a $125 billion budget surplus and turned it into a $1 trillion budget deficit. So those were some of the things where he really, really wrecked up the economy.
Without a doubt. Now, interestingly, on that list, you've got his father, which is George H.W. Bush. And why? What are some of the reasons why he ranks so low, do you think, in the survey that you took based on the metrics?
Well, this sort of gets more to the answer to your question about why Republicans seem to be bad for the economy. He came one of the things I think is very interesting about George H.W. Bush and his son is that they represent different wings of the Republican Party. George H.W. Bush, in my view, represented an idea about the economy, which is that you should have a balanced budget. You should live within your means. So when he was running for president back in 1980, he was running against Ronald Reagan. What he basically did was he said, look, Ronald Reagan is talking about voodoo economics, talking about cutting taxes, increasing government spending on defense, and also he felt that somehow that was going to balance the budget.
All right. Now, it's also interesting to note that when George H.W. Bush came into office, he also inherited the beginnings of what was a recession in the first part of his presidency as well. By the time he left office, though, he had set the stage for who turned out to be number one on your list, Clinton, to take over
right.
And actually take us to the next level. And it's interesting to me that George H.W. Bush, or Bush 41, set the stage for Clinton, and Clinton reaped all the benefits there. Why?
Yes, well, I think that is an interesting, sort of part of the story, is that he was actually, in my view, one of the better Republican presidents for the economy, because he was able to restore what he believed was the right way to do the economy, which was to try to have a balanced budget. He put in place this pay-go, these pay-go rules, which basically mean that if you're going to cut taxes somewhere, you have to also cut the budget or, something along the line. So he basically was preserved the sort of balanced budget idea, and that really helped Bill Clinton to balance the budget and actually have a budget surplus and start paying down the national debt so that, when he left office, there was only $5 trillion national debt. Now it's at $14 trillion.
My guest is Peter Cohan. We're talking about the worst U.S. presidents for the U.S. economy in the past 70 years. And Peter, the flip side of this question, if the Republicans are bad for the economy and according to your system, they rank in the bottom five, why is it that the Democrats rank in the top five predominantly?
I'll think about it, Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was definitely somebody who was the best president in the last 66 years for the economy. The stock market was up an average of 17% while he was president. 22 million jobs created. GDP growth averaged about 4.5%. Inflation was one thing where he was sort of bad. There's a little bit of inflation, but not too much. He basically, I think, is like other Democrats in that he was sort of interested in trying to make the economy work for the vast majority of Americans rather than just the elite. I mean, if you look at Ronald Reagan, he made the economy work really well for people who were trading junk bonds on Wall Street. All the deregulation Another problem that George H.W. Bush inherited was the collapse of the savings and loans industry that cost $230 billion bailout of 1,400 failed savings and loans, exactly due to Ronald Reagan's deregulation of these savings and loans. And the reason that they failed was because instead of making loans to people to build, you know, buy houses, they were buying junk bonds. And so the Republicans make the economy work for that top fraction of 1%, and, you know, the rest of the America can basically take, in the words of, to paraphrase Marie Antoinette. Whereas I think the Democrats are more interested in getting the economy working for the middle class and for most of the, you know, typical Americans. And that's why you see, for instance, under George W. Bush, that the median family income declined about 7% while he was president, whereas under the Democratic presidency, you see a growth in that median family income. So they're really trying to make the economy work for most of the Americans.
My guest is Peter Cohan. I'm not sure I want to have a debate with you right now about the 1% versus the 99%, but I do want to ask you, where will President Obama be in your rankings? If you applied those same metrics, where does he rank?
Well, if he were, if his term ended right now, he would be hugging the floor with George W. Bush.
He'd be kissing the bottom, huh?
Yeah, because he's one of the things that he is suffering from is a decline in the number of people working, which is basically the only president where that's happened, down about 690,000 a year on average. So fewer people working. You know, the deficit has gotten worse. The economy is growing very slowly. You know, the thing that he's trying to make people feel is that it's not his fault. It's what he inherited, and it would have been worse if he hadn't done what he did. And, you know, to some extent, what jumps out at me, unfortunately, as somebody who supported him and went to his birthday party and all this stuff, is that he seems too small for the job. He is unable to get any power. And when he gives speeches now, it seems like he's just like an angry bank backbencher rather than somebody who's, you know, the president of the largest country in the world, you know, the biggest economy in the world. He just doesn't seem to be able to lead and get past policies that would actually, you know, help the economy. Everything he tries to do, he has been stymied by people who want to get him out of office. And, you know, that whole... He seems unable to rise above that, and you know, the economy is just not doing that well. However, I will say one thing, which is that there are signs that the economy is starting to get better. And if he's really fortunate, what will happen is two things. First of all, the economy will start to grow in the next 9 months to a level where people will start to feel like things are turning around thanks to his policies. And number two, I saw a poll from NBC last night suggesting that the Republicans were probably going to nominate Newt Gingrich, and Newt Gingrich is basically unelectable for about half of the electorate. They just could not possibly see voting for him. So I think if those two things happen, Obama will be reelected, and, you know, there's always an element of luck there. I mean, the fact that Clinton had such a great economy was not completely due to his great economic policies, but it was also due to luck.
No, without a doubt. In fact, his economic policies, particularly towards Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, is what led to the decline in George W. Bush. My guest is Peter Cohan. Peter, we'll have to see. History will tell whether or not your prognostications about reelection are correct or not. But I want to change gears, if I can, for just a minute, because free market capitalists like myself insist that one way to boost the economy is to increase trade with other countries, even if those other countries are in recession. And I'm happy to see a bit of news that just came out recently, the trade agreements with South Korea, Panama, and Colombia. They were stalled in Congress until October of 2011. Now they've been passed and they've been signed into law. This opens up new mutually beneficial trade opportunities for us. You've just written a new book. It's titled Export Now, Five Keys to Entering New Markets. You co-authored that with Frank Lavin. Why is trade with other countries so vital to our economic success in your view, Peter?
Well, in my view, you look at the first half economic growth in the United States, it was about 0.7%. The third quarter growth was 2.5%. And yet, in 2011, the typical company in the S&P 500 experienced 7% revenue growth and 17% profit growth. So So how could you explain that? The answer is exporting. They are exporting to countries where the growth in demand is greater. There, you know, people know about the BRIC countries, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, China. And these are countries where there is an emerging middle class that is eager to own and eager to buy these American products. So these companies in the U.S. are successfully exporting to places where the demand growth is higher, and therefore they are able to produce record profits as they did in 2010. And in 2011, they are going to do it again. And in 2012, they are forecast to do it yet again. And it's because they are able to go to markets where the demand growth is higher than it is here in the U.S.
Well, that makes some sense. Now, you co-authored the book with Frank Levin, as I said. Tell us a little bit about Frank Levin's background and what did he bring to the party when writing this book on exporting?
Well, he brings an awful lot to the party. And as a matter of fact, it's sort of a funny story. My previous book was called Capital Rising, which I co-authored with a Babson professor. And I was interviewing Frank for this Capital Rising book, and he wanted to go in with us as a third co-author, and we thought that would be a little bit hard to do. So I said, Frank, how about if you and I do a book together? Now, the reason I was interviewing Frank was he had this office in Washington, which was the size of a bowling alley. It was this huge office in the Commerce Department where he was the Undersecretary for International Trade, which is basically the person in the Commerce Department who was in charge of exporting. He was worked in all these administrations as, you know, a senior White House aide, and starting with, I think he worked with Richard Nixon, he worked with Ronald Reagan, he worked with Bill Clinton, he worked with George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. I mean, he is an old Washington hand in terms of his experience. His work, and he was also the U.S. ambassador to Singapore. So he really has and now he's living in Hong Kong, and he started a company that's involved with exporting that is also called Export Now, named after our book.
How about that? My guest has been Peter Cohen. We've been talking about the worst U.S. presidents for the U.S. economy in the past 70 years and also his new book, Export Now. Peter, we covered a lot of ground. People might be interested in learning more about you, learning more about your book, learning more about your list. If they are, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, if they go to petercohan.com, PETERCOHAN.com, that sort of talks about my work, and there's also a link to my Forbes blog. It's called Startup Economy, which is where I have this list of the five worst presidents. I also did one on the five best presidents, by the way, too. But you can all find that on petercohan.com. And then for the blog, go to the link on petercohan.com to the Forbes Startup Economy blog.
That is great. Peter, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, thank you very much, and have a wonderful holiday.
And have a Merry Christmas to you, too.